I'd like to welcome you to season four of Cecil Taylor Monthly Podcast. And this one could be a long season because I am lining up so many guests for this season that will surely extend well into 2025. This season is called Practical Faith Academy. As you may know, Cecil Taylor Ministries teaches Christians how to live a seven-day practical faith. I talk a lot about putting your faith into practice. And for this season, I wanted my listeners to hear other voices and other stories besides mine. So I'll be interviewing a series of guests who will share their history and ideas for putting faith into practice. I'm joined now by LaVita Brooks, whose goal is to equip saints for ministry. She has written 9 books, including 7 journal books to guide her readers, a book called Psalm 91, Treading with Giants, and her most recent book, Nuggets for Thought, which contains 49 poems, reflections, and flash fiction pieces written by LaVita and her mother. This book has garnered at least 2 award nominations that I know of, a marketing nomination in the 2024 Christian Authors Network Awards for Broadcast Media, and a writing nomination in the 2024 Christian Indie Awards Poetry Division. She'll find out in late April what she has won. Hopefully both. LaVita Brooks is the host of the Hanging Out with Jesus podcast, on which I'm glad to have participated twice. But the most important thing to me about LaVita is that she is a delightful dinner companion and my sister in Christ. Welcome, LaVita, to the podcast.
Amen. It is a pleasure to be here. And we did have a good dinner.
In fact, LaVita, in the picture that I'm putting up, as advertising this, I'm putting up the picture you and I took when we were together in Nashville at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. So that's what our listeners will see there, is what LaVita and I got together.
That's cool.
You're my inaugural guest. There's no prize except, you know, you could just put that on the resume.
Oh, yay!
So this is my 4th podcast season, like I said. I've had 3 others, and please, if you're listening for the first time, go back and find the others. There's more than 30 podcasts that are in the inventory, but right now we're talking about Practical Faith Academy with LaVita, and as I said, my focus is on how to live a 7-day practical faith. So LaVita, when I say 7-day practical faith, what does that mean to you?
Well, let me piece it together. Okay. So practical is defined as something that you're actually doing or you're using. It's for implementation. It's not an idea, not a philosophy or a theory. When you look at seven symbolizes completion or perfection, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have faith. That's a strong belief, having confidence in someone or something. It's a complete trust. And for believers, that's our God. So when you put it all together, 7-day practical faith means 7 days to practice a spiritual discipline for growing in Christ.
All right. Hey, I love the idea of completion and bringing us to completion and maturity and that sort of thing. Also, okay, I got to use this. I will be transcribing and using this. That's great.
But I want to also add Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. And I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Because it's all, when you're trying to develop and grow in Christ Jesus, and you want to do it practically, this is like the ultimate thing you're trying to do. 37. And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And anything that we do, when it comes to our faith, to actually walking it out in everyday life, being intentional about everyday life, it's all about loving God. Loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. which helps us to love others as ourselves. And we talk about that as ourselves, but it's, we got to love ourselves too. And as we love others, we begin to realize more about loving ourselves. It all comes together, like all of it, you know? So that's what 7-day practical faith means to me. It's just learning a spiritual discipline that you begin to apply to your life so you can grow in Christ.
That's great, Levita. I want to pick up on a word. You talked about intention and then being intentional, and you're the host of the Hanging Out with Jesus podcast. And I know one of your major themes is intentionality in your faith and in your daily life. Could you please explain more about that philosophy?
Well, back in Genesis 1:26, God gave us a purpose. God didn't just say, I'm going to make man. Let's just make man, y'all. Let's just make him. He didn't do that. No. God gave us a purpose. He gave us a job to do. He was intentional about his directions for us and for making us. And that means that he was deliberate. So now, if God was deliberate, he had an intention, a reason for making us, then we should have that same idea, that same desire, focus into what we are doing in our lives. So when I say that you should be setting goals, that means you're setting something in order to do it, to, as you say, practical. We have to do it. Our life, we are here at this specific time for a purpose. We got to find out what that purpose is. I didn't just come through my mama, and she didn't just come through her mama, and her mama, they were each alive at a specific time. And when you look back over the ladies and the gentlemen that you came from and how they have impacted your lives, you start to think, is there something about this being born at a specific time? Mm-hmm. All these famous people that we know of, like Frederick Douglass, wow, all that he went through, all that he came through, and all of us, you know, I mean, when you think about it, he was there for a specific time and purpose in history. We each have a reason for being here. And that reason, we have to be intentional in trying to find out what that is. And when we do, we got to do it. Because I believe once you learn it, you got to go and do it. You got to, because that in there, you find joy in doing what you have been designed to do. That gives you purpose and meaning in life.
I really like the idea that you're sharing here about being also designed. I think about being designed for my purpose, but I hadn't really thought about, I'm dropped into a particular point in history. I'm designed for this time as well as for the purpose. So I really like that. You know, you mentioned some of the people that pour into you and so forth. And so I'm curious, how did you come to faith, and who were your spiritual mothers and fathers?
Well, I came to faith in the bathroom.
Okay, I got to hear this.
But now I realize that I should come to faith because of a prison ministry. Okay. So what happened was, I grew up in a holiness, Catholic, Baptist church. Okay, that's the sequence.
Okay.
So my mother took me to church one day, and she said, when I get to the front, you better be behind me, Because see, I wasn't going. I was like, Mom, why we got to do this?
Right.
Anyway, okay. All right. So we joined the church. I got involved with the young adults at that time who were there. They were nice. I just, you know, I liked them. So I decided I was going to go to their Bible classes with them too and all that. So I did. Anyway, I already knew about Jesus Christ, you know. I was doing that transition thing from the Catholic to the Baptist, where the Holy Spirit now, he wasn't in some kind of vessel. Mm. He was actually in me. Whoa. That was a new concept. That was all it was at the time. It's just a concept. So anyway, as I get to learn more about him, the Lord he's touching my heart. You know, he's just touching me. So went to one class, and they had a Bible Institute in the church. So I joined that, and they said that you need to go to all these different ministries so you can see where God wants you to be. Well, of course, knocking on doors wasn't for me, because I was truly hurt when they shut the door in my face. Mm. That's not for me. So I decided to go to the prison ministry. Now I'm in this. Okay, Cecil, I'm telling you. Okay, so when you walk in, they slam the gate behind you. Mm. And it's not a soft sound. It's a permanent sound. It's like click.
Yeah.
You in. Yeah. Now, there's a gate behind you that just closed. The gate in front of you doesn't immediately open. I'm in a men's prison. Why am I stuck here? So if I let it open, you know. So I went into their room. It was the what we would call the gym. And I was just amazed at how these men were actually praising the Lord. And, you know, I'm looking at them saying, can't be praising the Lord. I mean, they were seriously hands up, tears. I mean, some were saying scripture. They were truly in the Lord. Okay. Going home. All this is, we're going home, and as I'm getting out the car, the guy that I was with, there was like three of us. So the guy that I was with, he just turned and looked at me. And he was my friend. He's a pastor now. And he said, would you like to accept Christ? I looked at him like, I said nothing. I jumped out the car, shut the door, went up the stairs, unlocked the house, flew up the stairs, went to the bathroom, and I accepted Christ.
Oh, you accepted him there. You just need a little more time to think about it, huh?
It was like a mad dash. So I accepted Christ. I'm telling you, Cecil, when I opened my eyes, it was like things were just shining.
Oh.
And I come and say, you know, I'm a new creature in Christ. Oh, this is what it's like. You know, that's like. So that's how I have. His name is Pat. Yeah, his name is Pastor Rick Henley. He was a blessing to me. He knows my story, and he laughs about it every time. But I've also had Miss Marie. She was my Bible teacher here. I've had so many people to feed in me. Beverly, my best friend Lori, she has been with me a long time. That's my accountability partner. Mm. Pastor Durham, he's passed. My Pastor Morris, I have now. So many. Even Charles Stanley, T.D. Jakes, Jensen Franklin, you know, there's some, I've had a Priscilla Shriver.
Priscilla Shriver.
Yes, I mess it up every time. But yeah, it's been so many throughout my years.
That's a great story, and to have that whole village pour into you for that moment in the bathroom. So you're listening to the Practical Faith Academy podcast. I'm Cecil Taylor with LaVita Brooks, and she's an author and podcaster. And LaVita, what do you think is the hardest part about putting faith into practice?
Me?
Amen.
So when I want it my way more than God's way. That's why I say me. Sometimes I have to feel the pain of my disobedience until I realize that I need to pivot. Now, one thing I've learned that's true, God doesn't go over your choices. He's going to send you red flags, impress thoughts in your mind, give you dreams that help you realize that, something's not right. He's gonna let you see truth. But if you keep dismissing them and become headstrong, like I was, like I am at times, and having my own way, your fight is gonna cost you. Fight is gonna cost you. But there's always a silver lining. You know what I'm saying? Because God has a way of making your mess. You learn something in it that helps you to grow. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to share is that I was in a 23-year emotionally abusive marriage. And I mean, I went into this marriage, I was in love. And they say love is blind. For me, I was blind. But now I see. But I'm just saying, I pushed away all the red flags, things God was showing me that weren't right about marrying him. But I always found a way to reject it, thinking I couldn't possibly be of God. After all, I was 40 years old when I got married. This got to be the right time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he fit all the bill. I mean, everything was lining up. So my choice, my journey, 23 years, then came my escape. But you see, the weird thing was that when I was actually in the trenches of the marriage, I was practicing my faith. I was growing. I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. But that season was where I was learning about being intentional. Mm-hmm. It's there that I learned the skills of being a planner, an organizer. God was refining these things in me, being an administrator. And it's where hanging out with Jesus became instilled in me. You know, I started every first Saturday, I had a Sabbath. I started weekly family prayers. It was Wednesday, now it's Tuesday. I established my writing practices and even a podcast recording day. All these things were being developed. God turned that bad choice, the first bad choice of not following him, into something good. Because he took that and he said, my daughter going the wrong direction. But you know what? I know her heart. I know her heart. So I'm going to get her there. I'm going to get her there. And I believe that's the hardest part. Just moving me out the way so I can go and do what God's called me to do. And when that happens, it's a relief. You feel so, you do. When I Cecil, it is when you realize what God has called you to do, you find an urgency in you to want to do it. It's like a passion, a something that's like pulling you towards it.
Yeah, you get aligned. You get aligned then. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up, LaVita, about your marriage, and you were recently divorced.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that some. And you've talked, you know, it's great to hear how the Lord was working with you during the marriage. I'm curious about during that process of ending the marriage and now coming out the other side, how has your faith helped you during that time, and your faith journey kind of changed from this event?
So it's changed a lot. I'm more aware of my relationship with God. I know that divorce is not for the faint of heart. And I've also learned that emotional abuse is real. You know, it's that kind of abuse that you can't see because a person has been so conditioned to cover it up, mask it, even when they don't even realize that they are being manipulated and abused. But when that kettle gets too hot on the pot, okay, the lid blows off and it's time to pivot. You know, and I think that's what happened with me. During them 23 years of marriage, God never left me or forsook me. I see now what I didn't see then. And even though I was being manipulated and derailed, in the end, God's plan was still being developed in me. I started, with God's guidance and insight, I started 3 businesses in that marriage. 3, yeah.
Wow.
2 still are maintained, but 1 we got out before we completely went under.
Oh.
So, you know, so I learned the good and the bad about developing businesses. I learned more about starting and maintaining a business and establishing routines to keep the businesses running smoothly. So there's where the planning and the organizing was being developed within me, and that administrative part. I also learned about being a prayer warrior. Because I was doing a lot of praying. I became a Bible teacher. And it was interesting, it was for high schoolers too. I learned more about believing in God's word. Not just saying it, but practicing it. And practicing it as a goal, which was intentional.
Right.
To do it.
Yeah, very, very disciplined approach, actually,
yes.
Especially in the midst of a chaotic environment.
Yeah. So presently, I'm learning right now how to just wait. God, there's a song that says, I'm fighting a battle that God's already won. So, I mean, he's awakened me a couple of days with just that song.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just waiting, because the battle is won. So just waiting for God to just show me what the next steps are.
What the next steps. Oh, wow.
And that can be stressful, but it also can be liberating. Because I don't have to do anything. Just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And we don't like to wait, especially if we're intentional and we like to have our list and we like to do things and we like to be active and we like to start 3 businesses and that kind of thing. Right. And then to say, you know, it's a fallow time, and it's a time when you're kind of put over on the shelf for a bit, you know, and it's a time of rest, even, you know, maybe forced rest. So there's it's hard, I think, for a very active and intentional person, but still, it's a time to reflect and just be patient. Yeah, Lavina, I want to pivot to talking about some of the books that you've written. So you've written a lot of journal books in your author career, and the most recent one was, it's very appropriate, I think, for where you are. It was called The Me Project, Who I Am and Whose I Am. Why did you write this journal book, and what do you hope people take from it?
I wrote it so that believers would know who they are and who and whom they belong to. It's like we came out of the pandemic and we forgot who we were. You know, as believers. That was published in 2022. And then I published Nuggets for Thought. That was the book for my legacy to my mother in 2023. But there's also another book I want to share, because it was called The Strategic Planner. Okay. And when I look back, and that one I published in 2022, when I look back, like I said, through my what I went through, all these books were a pivotal time in my life. And I never really got them. All I did was have them published. I never took them any further than that. Mm-hmm. And I'm now at a place where I can do that. And God is working with me now on The Strategic Planner. He's getting me to this point where I'm understanding what I was really called to do and the people that I'm really to support. And these are people who are planners, people who are creatives, like us, you know, that truly have a desire to spend that time with the Lord, learning from Him. And that's where The Strategic Planner came from. It's a planner which allows you to spend time with the Lord and get your goals and ideas from Him, and then be intentional about doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, and then to come from there to the Who I Am or whose I Am to Psalms 91, and then it was like, Lord, you go, you just you're just taking everything in a secret. So now He's taking me back. He said, you got everything lined up. Now, let's start with the beginning. Let's work on Strategic plan. So I said, all right. So what I do with Nuggets? He said, that was okay. We'll come back. You better start here. So you know, with life changes and transitions, you know, we talk about 7-day practical faith. Our faith, when we're in different seasons of our lives, our faith changes. It becomes more developed because we've been through something that has allowed us to grow in order to hold on to and grasp onto that new concept, that new thing, that new whatever it is that God has given us in order to live. It's like we're going one step up to get closer to where it is that we're supposed to be. And that's what I'm saying. God is just, He's so good. We should never look at our past mistakes or things that we've gone through that have hurt us and crushed our heart. And even if we have a lot of anxiety and fears, we should never let those things stop us. Because there's always, God always got a plan. I didn't realize that then. And when you're going through it, you don't see it. I'm telling you, you don't see it. It's not until you come out on the other side and you say, whoa, God, you did all that. And I'm still alive.
Well, and it, you know, if I can play back some of what you just said, I feel like you really got filled up for a couple of years, and that had to spill out. Like, there was a lot going on, and it came out in different ways. Psalm 91 with Nuggets for Thought, with the Me Project, with the Strategic Planner, and it all kind of poured out. But now that you're in a quieter place, you can go back, and the Lord can show you, okay, going forward, let's go pick up that Strategic Planner, and let's start developing off that. Maybe it's just that book alone, but maybe there's some sequel or something else that you're saying, okay, that's the focus now. You've got all this out of you that I poured into you, but now let's refine it and go after something else. And of course, now, even 2 years later, after writing it, as you said, you are a different person than you were when you wrote it. And you can see it from a new perspective. Am I stating that right?
Oh, yes. That's it. That's it. Yeah. See it from a new perspective. I understand it better.
Yeah.
I really understand. I can see even more whom it was written for.
Ah, okay. Okay. That's very good. And so you can be intentional about the way you bring it out to people. That's our word of the day. That's our word of the day. Well, I want to wrap things up, Levita. Give us your best tip for developing and maintaining a 7-day practical faith.
Plan it. You have to plan it. Set the 7 days aside. Know exactly when you're going to do it, the location, the time, the place. Even get your outfit together. Get all your tools together. Then do it. Because when you plan it, it helps you identify your goals. You know what you're going to do and when. You understand why you're doing what you are doing. It also helps you prepare for those hindrances and interruptions that can come along. Plan it. Because research shows that in planning, thing, your projects become successful. And that's another thing. When you say 7-day practical faith, that's a project. You're about to do something, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's a planned activity or some type of sequences, right, to design to achieve something. Therefore, plan it. Put it down. This is it. You allotted those days.
Yeah.
Plan it.
Okay. You know, it reminds me of something that I learned way back in MBA school, where they were talking, I had a human behavior kind of course. And they said, you know what? Humans are so erratic. We can't give you absolutes except for one thing. There's one thing all semester we can tell you is an absolute. And that is that goals work. Yeah. Goals work. Even if you fail the goal, you get farther down the road than if you didn't have the goal in the first place. And they said, so that convinced me a lot as a manager and as a person on how I needed to establish goals in my life or for my department or for the individuals who worked for me, is that we always talked about goals. And that's what you're talking about, having goals. And even if you, people are afraid they're going to fail the plan, but I'm telling you, even if you fail the plan, you did better than if you didn't have the plan, right?
That's right. That's right. And when you're writing your goals, goals cause you to be intentional. They cause you to. And when you write down your goal, that is a plan. So it all comes together.
That's great. Levita, thank you so much for being on this inaugural Practical Faith Academy podcast. You've gotten us off to a great start. Thank you.
I am blessed and I am so happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, and folks listening, we're going to do this again next month. I think I know who I'm going to have on, but I'm still lining up everybody, and I don't want to advertise it too soon, but I have somebody that I think is going to be really special, who's going to bring a lot of enthusiasm and joy to the podcast. And so please check it out again. Cecil Taylor Monthly Podcast is where you search, and just wherever you find us on major podcast sites, and as well as on YouTube. And please stay in touch. And until then, I think we would say that keep your goals up and put them into practice. By the way, you can find more about Levita at levitabrooks.com. And that's LYVITA Brooks.com. Thank you again. So long, everybody.